All right, welcome into a special edition of the Luke and Paige Show. Luke Lipinski alongside Paige DeMacos and special guest, the head coach of your Phoenix Suns, Earl Watson, joins us. Earl, first of all, thanks for making the drive and coming in, being in studio. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it should be the off season, but I'm guessing you guys, there's not really an off season when you're talking about May and June leading up to the draft. You're probably pretty busy right now.
Yeah, we're pretty busy. We have the draft workouts going on. We just started, and this morning we had Brandon Knight, Eric Bledsoe, and Devin Booker come in to work out as well. So we have players here. We're starting early, and guys want to be in the gym, so that's the atmosphere that we wanted to create.
You told me on your way in, and I would agree with you, it's hard to tell from these draft workouts what you're getting from these players, but what can you take from these draft workouts for these guys that you're looking at?
We can take attitude from it, work ethic, and seeing if guys can really shoot. Other than that, you have to mix in the actual game to truly see if they can shoot. So you kind of get an idea, but you get a feel for who the player truly is.
This is interesting. Paige and I were talking about this before you got here. Just, you know, from the perspective of a Suns fan, they know Earl Watson, they know your resume, but I don't know how much they know Earl Watson, the person. I think maybe the best way you could kind of get an insight into that is, what's your kind of player? I mean, is it kind of those traits you're talking about, like a hard worker that you know is going to come to work every day and put it all out there?
Well, I've never seen a great player not work hard. Just being honest with you. You just pick up tendencies along your path, and I've been around great players, been on great teams, and you see the trend. And the trend is always young, mature guys who have high character, who work hard and are selfless. And it sounds easy to get in professional sports, but as we all know, it's the most difficult.
Yeah. All right, this is the obviously you find out you have the number 4 overall pick. When you look at that pick, not necessarily who you want, but what is it that you're going to try and attack? I mean, we've heard Ryan McDonough say, even if it's a point guard that's available, you guys are going to go for best available player. This is your first draft. Is that Earl Watson's draft philosophy?
I think, you know, best available is always, you know, the trend for NBA programs. I think another thing is we want to attack is we want to have players who can shoot, players who are athletic, players who play with high energy, and also high character. So that's kind of like our trend. We want some toughness. We have some offensive talent. Now we have to mix in the other ingredients to build the equation of a winning program.
Paige and I are cautiously optimistic about this team even as soon as next year. We're kind of looking up and down the roster and some guys that maybe were hurt last year, like Eric Bledsoe. Obviously, Devin Booker was great, but it's his first year. He's a young guy. And then the fact that you have 3 first-round picks. Now, I know you don't know necessarily exactly what you do with those first 3 picks, but is it possible you would use all 3? I guess a trade is certainly an option as well.
I think you're going to be very creative with the situation we're in because we have young talent. It'd be different. We were an older team. We're like, we need some young talent. We have to draft. But we're a younger team, and we're talented. So you can be very creative. But that, then again, that's the management's decision. It's my job to bring it to life.
What's your role now with this draft process? With how do you fit in with McDonough and everyone else making this decision?
Well, we all have, you know, something we call put it on the board. We all have a say-so or a voice. And we back our opinions with facts and vision. And together we create one vision, we lead the room with one mission and to execute. So this is Ryan's lead. I'm here to help and assist any way that I can. And I have an input and a voice. And like I said, whatever decision we come up with and whatever team we put together is up for the staff to make that come to life, that vision. And that's a part of teaching.
Looking at your situation, you come in as the interim coach and near the end of a kind of a tough season, certainly for the Suns. How difficult was that for you to step in? And obviously, you have your own thought of how you want to be a coach at this level, but also you got to kind of prove yourself to be able to stick past last year. That wasn't the easiest scenario, I would imagine.
Yeah, I wasn't really trying to prove myself, to be honest with you. Like, I'm very confident in my basketball knowledge, and I was very confident in the guys and the staff we had teaching. I came in, and my main emphasis was to create a passion, change the attitudes, and most importantly, build a winning culture. So no matter what happened, whether I stayed or I left, I wanted whoever coached them next to have, you know, the foundation to build up. And that's the imprint I wanted to leave.
I like that.
How do you build a winning culture? How do you sell that to the fans? Because you know they haven't been to the playoffs in a few years now. How do you build that winning culture?
Well, I don't believe you sell anything. No one wants to buy something that another person is selling. I think it's just simple. We're asking them to join the family. And I think they can see the way players play. They can see it. The fans are very in tune. Now we have to build synergy within our team. And we call it, you know, we have our own Krebs cycle for our equation of winning and building a winning culture, and not just building it, but executing it now. You know, everyone wants to build something, but it takes years. I'm not that type of person to always extend my contract by saying we're building. Coaches are great politicians in that way. You hear it all the time. It's typical.
Yeah.
Oh, we're young. We're building a culture, and it's going to take some time. No, the time is now. So, you know, I'm young, and maybe that's just the stubbornness in me. I have no patience with, you know, that time. I'm more focused on let's keep building one step at a time, one block at a time, and you'll see it develop.
Do you think that's helped you, though, that you were not that long ago a player in this league, and that you can talk with the guys and kind of build that camaraderie in that way as a player? So, like you said, the coaches say that, but you're a coach now. So now, how do you bring that mentality to as a player?
I hate titles, to be honest with you. I think you need hierarchy if you have a group that's not disciplined. But we want to be a disciplined culture. We want to have that. We want to emphasize and execute that every day. And if you have a disciplined culture, there's no hierarchy needed. So for me, the ask, because I just played, is that important, and can you connect? And maybe it is, I don't know. But I truly think the biggest thing for me was I've always stayed in touch with the younger generation from my travel teams. So we sit in draft meetings, and we have players come into the one-on-one meetings with our program and our front office and our staff, and they go, oh, we played your team in Vegas, or we played your team in Texas. And I remember you was at the game. So now I have a connection, you know, that relationship is already built.
It's interesting because you are one of the youngest NBA coaches really in history. I mean, I guess Luke Walton's got you beat by a couple months now with the Lakers. But just in general, do you see that, and even just the sense of talking to you right now, maybe you're not looking at it this way, but do you see that as a challenge or as a benefit, or maybe a little mixture of both depending on the situation?
I don't see it as anything but a long career moving forward, to be honest with you.
I like it.
I guess I want to be an NBA lifer, and I want to be here for my tenure. So when you hear and you build something, you believe in a vision, that vision can happen next year. But as we all know, we can't sit in success. That's fluid. It's a journey. It's not a destination.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, just reside in success. It's constant fluid. It's constant motion. So for myself, is I see it as a great opportunity to potentially one day I want to be a part of one of the best groups to ever coach. And since I'm so young, I think that's a reality for me.
Yeah.
So you've been at these workouts these last few days. What's your role in the workouts? What have you been doing, or just observing, really?
I observe. I get on the court and also let our other coaches get in and teach. Stop it here and there, change some things or add some things, and, you know, make sure I let them know that when you come to the Phoenix Suns, you're going to work. This isn't going to be a cool workout. You know, there's no cool way to win in sports. This is going to be a workout. It's going to be intense. It's going to be physical. It's going to be taxing on your body, most importantly on your mind. I think something we do different, I'm not sure who does this, is we put in plays, because I really want to see if you can remember a play. You get guys that come into workouts and they can shoot, they can handle, they can jump, and then you run a play and they have no clue how to execute it. So it's different, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we put
Very
it
different.
In early, and then we make you run it at the end of practice. So, like, we know we're challenging them in all areas.
Just listening to you talk, I mean, you have a different outlook than maybe a lot of the just – we're not hearing the same sports cliches. I don't think that we are. Who are some of your big influences? It sounds like you always kind of had intentions to be a coach at some point at this level if you could do it. When you look back, who are some of the guys that maybe influenced you the most?
Coach Wooden was my initial influence. The way he spoke to me and talked to me about life, poetry, books, and education, just – took me to another level. And then at the end, he always slid in how to be a leader and how to run the offense properly without throwing behind the back passes. He hated that about my game. He told me, like, he hated that. He was very transparent. And I'll still do it. It didn't matter. But then you had Jerry West, who was around me early in my early 20s. He had a big influence on me in recruiting and how he was such a great people person and how he saw a vision and he was straightforward to execute it. Nothing detoured him, no matter if the journey was shorter or long. Then Hubie Brown, my coach in Memphis, he was great, transparent, great teacher, talked a lot about analytics before analytics existed, but he used them with numbers. 24 points a quarter, hold your opponent to, 3 out of 4, you win. 7 deflections per quarter, 7 steals per game, 7 threes per game, 35 points in transition. So he taught in numbers. He never said you had to get back. He said you had to hit this number as a team. He was big, and I can go on forever. You know, you got Jerry Sloan, Larry Bird, R.C. Buford, even Terry Stotts my last year. And, you know, just being around that staff was just amazing. And actually, I love Steve Jobs, just to be honest with you. And I love Einstein. Like, Einstein for me was amazing when he spoke about once we learn our limitations, we go beyond them. So I put that into the team. And then I reach out to a lot of business leaders because at the end of the day, a team is set up the same way businesses are set up. You have to learn how to rebuild, how to develop, how to grow, how to enhance and move moving parts around to make everyone better.
I want to know, the NBA draft's coming up, and we've heard your draft philosophy as a coach, but you were drafted once upon a time. So what was it like the day you got drafted, obviously, to the Seattle Supersonics? What was that day like for you?
You know, it didn't move me, to be honest with you. Nothing, no contract moved me, no amount of money moved me in any transaction. The only thing that moved me was when I signed my letter of intent with UCLA. That's when I cried. Because I knew no matter what, no one could ever steal my education away. Money can come and go. Knowledge is forever. That was the only time I was really emotional. Other than that, I knew it was a business. And when I signed or got drafted or signed another contract or whatever it was throughout my 13-year career, I just wanted to go in and make the team better.
Talking to Suns head coach Earl Watson. Coach, I want to go back to something you said just a couple seconds ago about, you know, sports a franchise being run sort of like a business and a successful business. Is that something you've noticed has kind of changed over the last few years? Because we hear that more and more now, at least in my recollection, than we did even 5-10 years ago.
I went to UCLA, man. Like, to be honest with you. Trust me, that was ran like you was set up like a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you had expectations on the court, and then the classroom was very challenging. So it prepared me for life. And I'm very grateful I challenged myself and went to that university. I'm very grateful that I actually went to class and did my own work. I'm just being dead honest with you. It taught me how to grow, how to research, how to learn, how to be creative and how to be witty and savvy at the same time. It taught me how to be resilient mentally and physically. So everything's been a business since I've been 17 years old at UCLA. I understood the business well.
Do you see that in your players that are coming up, though, and these young guys? Do you see even the guys, I mean, like a Devin Booker, one and done, do you see them getting that same type of business run in college that you had from John Wooden?
You know, John Wooden didn't really speak the word business because it was such a stern word in sports. He more spoke it as a family. And, you know, I think the best businesses are families, to be honest with you. So when you really break it down, Coach Wooden said one thing to me I'll never forget. He said, when you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So I feel like I've never worked, to be honest with you. I feel like this is like a greatest gift in the world. Like, I could leave here and I can go to a random gym and I can see kids on the court, I'm jumping in the drill. I have to teach it. Like, it's just who I am. About a year ago, I went to go watch 7-year-olds run offense or run practice, and I jumped into practice and started teaching basketball sets to them of the NBA sets, and they caught on to it quick. So like, I just love basketball. Last summer I was working with UCLA women's basketball team a couple times a week. I don't care. I just love basketball. Yeah. I'm a true fan of the sport and a true fan of the gift, and I think it's an art.
Yeah, we're all pretty lucky. We get to talk about sports and we get to coach sports.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's not a bad situation. Yeah. So now, do you watch the NBA playoffs as they're still going here and we get down to the final four teams? Are you still interested, or are you more focused on just what's going on here, or do you have time for both?
No, I watch. I do both a lot. I watch a lot because I've known Russ since he was a kid. I was on the team with KD when we drafted him, and I was with Russ when we drafted him. But I knew Russ from before UCLA, just being in LA. So it's cool to watch. It's cool to see. You see players develop, you see players grow, you see players make their names, and you like to watch to see the pressure and how players handle the pressure.
You know Russ, you know KD, you know who they're playing, and you know the hype around Steph Curry, and you've coached against him now. Is there a way to stop what he's doing? I mean, we've never seen in the history somebody be able to do some of the things that he's doing. And as somebody who watched the 90s Bulls and a Supersonics fan across from you and Luke, it's just a different era of basketball. Is there a way, a defense, a player that can stop him?
I don't think you can really stop him. I think you can try to make him a volume shooter. I think if you want to stop him, you got to stop the limit of passes per game.
Yeah.
Because everyone gets caught up in how Golden State like shoots threes. But the stat that no one talks about is how many passes they make per game. Not assists. How many times does the ball pass from player to player per game? And I guarantee it's significantly more than any other team.
There's a lot of talk about Steph Curry. Maybe this is just the recency bias, or maybe he is this good of being the best shooter of all time. Certainly, he seems like one of the best shooters of all time. You played with Ray Allen. I know Paige brought this up on our show the last time we did it. Ray Allen might be the best shooter of all time. Do you see similarities between those two players?
Yeah, a lot of similarities. I think Ray releases just as quick as Steph's release, but Ray did off a pin down with full speed movement. Steph can do it, but Ray jumped really quick when he shot it. Steph has more of a like quick release with a little in-between set shot to jump shot. The only thing that separates them two is Steph can handle the ball. Ray couldn't. Mm. So if Ray had that handle, it could be a great, you know, debate. But I think Steph is the best shooter.
All right. We're talking NBA playoffs. So I got to know, who do you see winning the NBA Finals this year?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. I think Cleveland has to be the team to beat. If you watch them play, they're starting to move the ball. And their sets are fluid and has continuity. That's the only difference.
Yeah.
And now their shooters are hitting shots. Players are more comfortable. Kevin Love, who also I've known for a long time, is playing great. You know, LeBron is LeBron, and it's just great to see them happen. It's this funny story that Tyron and I was on the same AAU team growing up. He was 2 years older than me, so we worked out together. We both from Kansas City. It's great to see him have success and be, you know, pursue his career and his dream too.
Is that kind of how it works? Like, I've talked to former players in other sports, and when they watch the playoffs, they're not really rooting for teams. They're just kind of rooting for guys that they know and have good relationships with.
Yeah, I hope they do well. You know, I hope they do well, but when we face them, I really don't care about them. Just to be honest with you, we never have to talk again in life, to be honest with you. I really don't care.
All right, I like the competitive nature. Last question for me is, are you planning to coach upcoming with Summer League coming up here?
No, I don't want to coach Summer League. I don't want every NBA team to sit behind the bench and steal everything I say.
I like it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's very important. Teams really evaluate and they analyze, they database and they intel. I don't want them to hear any of my words, any of my teachings.
All right, my last question is, the description is you kind of worked your way up from the bottom when it came to coaching. I mean, you were a successful player, you were in this league for years and years, and then you went down to the D League and coached your way up from there. What has that experience been like for you? It sounds like it was pretty intentional, like you knew what you were doing all along. You wanted to start from the bottom and work your way up.
I don't know any other way. I was a second-round pick. I wasn't a highly recruited athlete out of Kansas City. I was recruited by a lot of teams, but not top 10. I wasn't expected to start at UCLA, but I started the most games in the history of the school. Started since my freshman year. I don't want anything ever given to me. So to me, it was my natural path. A lot of people saw the D-League as a demotion. I saw it as a great opportunity, especially to start with the Spurs. And I used it, and I grew, and I loved it, and I embraced it. And I think because I embraced it, and I really love to teach, like I said, I could teach anywhere. I think that really benefited me as far as moving forward.
I want this guy teaching the young Phoenix Suns.
I was going to say the young Phoenix Suns. We'll be happy to watch you guys, watch you coach, and hopefully make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the mission. You know, but the main, we got to do a lot of things before we make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll enjoy the process as much as you're enjoying it as well.
Thanks.
I feel like I learned something from this interview. Coach, thanks for coming in. This was enjoyable.
Thanks for having me.
That's Earl Watson for Paige DeMakos. I'm Luke Lipinski. Thanks for listening to The Luke and Paige Show.